Great news on the Jameis Winston injury front, and let's be honest, it doesn't matter who's throwing the football to Michael Thomas, he's going to ball. We got all of that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, we're free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And I am your grateful host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credentialed member of the media. You can find me every day over at USA Today Saints Wire Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And today's episode, we are here for another live one. Thanks so much, everybody, for being here as our New Orleans Saints training camp day 12 has wrapped up. We're here to get you all the news and notes that you need to know. Thank you very much, all y'all, for being here. I'm already seeing a bunch of you. I'm seeing Larry. I'm seeing West Bank Rick. I'm seeing all the homies up in the chat with a Your Team Every Day. Don't forget to drop that Your Team Every Day in the chat, in the comments. Pammy, I see you as well. And of course, if you are checking us out via audio, you can always hit me up on Twitter at Ross Jackson NOLA. Give a quick shout out to DeMar, Michael, Mark, and Eric, who are already dropping that Your Team Every Day before we even started the live stream. So I appreciate y'all very much for being here and your patience today. So let's get it going for today's episode, because we're going to talk about a couple of different things, or better than that, we're going to break down a few different things, because we saw some good progress for guys like Marcus Davenport and Taysom Hill today. So we'll get to that with our attendance and participation report, as we do to wrap up every episode. But before we get to that, we'll jump into a little bit about Michael Thomas and how it just doesn't seem to matter who is throwing the football to this guy. He's going to produce. Like, you're just not going to stop him from producing. But first, let's get an update on Jameis Winston's injury status. I know that's the big topic right now. So as always, we like to start with the biggest story. Jameis Winston being noted by head coach Dennis Allen as being day to day. And that's really, really good news for the New Orleans Saints and Jameis Winston. He was not out there today. Practice was not in pads. It was shorts and shells. And we were back in the indoor training facility. Did not get an eye on Jameis Winston out there, even looking on. But the good news around it is that every report that's been coming out around Jameis Winston, whether it's from Nick Underhill, whether it's from Jeff Duncan, whether it's from Adam Schefter, and now directly from Dennis Allen himself, seems to suggest that they don't believe that this is anything serious for the former first overall selection and third year New Orleans Saints quarterback. So this is good news for the Saints, good news for Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, of course, needs to be out on the field in terms of building up, getting time on task, all of that stuff in terms of building out the offense, yes. But the fact that this is very clearly something that, unless something really unexpected happens, isn't going to impact the regular season at all is really, really positive. It is a positive takeaway to take from all of this. Dennis Allen elaborating a little bit further, mentioning that it was a right foot or a sprained right foot, excuse me, again, the anticipation being that it's nothing serious, but we won't see him in practice for a couple of days. I would be surprised if we saw him in practice really at all this week, considering the fact that Andy Dalton and Ian Book are going to pretty much split all of the snaps for Saturday's preseason game against the Houston Texans at NRG Stadium anyway. So no need to really put Jameis Winston in a situation to where you're risking, maybe you've avoided a significant injury here, but you don't want to make it worse at any point. So you don't need to, right, with the preseason game on the way here. Just focus on Andy Dalton and focus on Ian Book. So hopefully we'll see Jameis Winston getting back into the fold next week. Maybe we'll see him at some point this week getting some side work in, or maybe just observing practice, things like that. A lot of different ways that this can all go, but bottom line is that it seems that there is very little concern, all the way down to no concern, when it comes to Jameis Winston and that injury. So good news for Jameis and the New Orleans Saints. Today's practice without Jameis Winston out there, you saw first team reps mostly manned and led by Andy Dalton, but we also saw Ian Book get quite a few snaps throughout this practice as well. I think Ian Book has put together his best two practices Monday and Tuesday of training camp thus far, the first 12 days. So that's good news for Ian Book. But the really nice thing for the Saints is having Dalton, who has 160 plus NFL starts, that has led three playoff teams. Now, he didn't win those playoff games, I know, but he has still led three playoff teams. He's a veteran. He has installed a brand new offense in each of the last six seasons. This guy is seasoned when it comes to making sure that you can execute a system. So the team got in and out of the huddles really easily. There were no, you know, miscommunications, miscues, no communication issues, no confusion, anything like that. So that's good news for the Saints because they get to continue to install their offense with an experienced quarterback. But it's not like the Saints players around Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton have some massive drop-off going from Jameis Winston to a guy that's never been in the system before, but also hasn't installed other NFL systems in his past. You have a lot of experience with Andy Dalton. So I thought Andy Dalton did a good job today. He finished up his day. It was with him going, let me make sure I get my numbers correct here. He was 6 of 7 through the first couple of reps and then went 4 of 6 outside that. So he was 10 of 12 during that, or 10 of 13, excuse me, over the course of the day. And also threw what I'm going to say are 2 touchdown passes. Listen, there were officials that were present throughout this training camp day, and they were in mid-season form, missing a push-off, calling things pass interference that shouldn't have been called pass interference, in my opinion, and also blowing a play dead that would have been a touchdown to Adam Trautman over the seam, which was our play of the day today. And so I just want to say that they're in mid-season form screwing up a bunch of calls already, the officials are. But that's just me, and I'm just going to back off of the officials because it's the offseason. I can go ahead and give them the benefit of the doubt around all of it. So I'm just calm down. Sorry, y'all. I let that one get to me a little bit, but I'm just saying. Our play of the day today was definitely a situation in which you had during 2-minute drills. I think the Saints started with 1:15 left on the clock. And with that, you had Andy Dalton targeting down the field and down the seam Adam Trautman, who made an outstretched catch, ended up bringing it in, and then would have been able to have an easy catch and run for a touchdown there. The officials blew it dead, so they had to go back to the spot of the catch. They called timeout, and then a couple plays later, Andy Dalton throws a bullet touchdown to Kirk Merritt in the end zone. New Orleans Saints wide receiver, formerly the Miami Dolphins, but of course, a Destrehan native, so there's a lot of local interest and intrigue in Kirk Merritt, who's having a really good camp so far. We're going to highlight him a little bit more in the pre-recorded episode later on today, because I have some quotes from Dennis Allen and other players who have spoken about Kirk Merritt today. So really, really good stuff from all of that. I see people getting questions in the chat. Don't forget to get all of your questions in the chat so that I can pick those up for the evening episode. But coming up next, we're talking about Kirk Merritt here. Now let's break down Michael Thomas, because it just doesn't seem to matter who's throwing the football to this guy. He's always going to produce, and we got another example of that today. We're going to get to that as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, but I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you about my favorite protein bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Yeah, it's Built Bar time, everybody. The best tasting protein bar on the market. I see Locked On Gators in the chat, so I know they know too. Brandon knows. These are the best tasting protein bars that are out there. And some of y'all have even ordered them, tried them, and then wrote to me to tell me how much you love them yourself. Robert Krause tried out that mint brownie, which is my absolute favorite. But if you're somebody that doesn't like a standard protein bar and you want to do something that maybe feels a little bit more dessert-like, you can go ahead and check out the Built Puffs, especially right now with the cookie dough chunk Built Puffs in the market right now, to where you've got those chunks of cookie dough on top, the marshmallowy kind of base that is the puff bar, all covered in 100% chocolate. And I know all that sounds like you're just loading up on calories, just 160 calories to your 15 grams of protein. Go and check out Built Bar today. I don't know how they keep doing it, but they always get it done, and they get it done better than anybody's ever gotten a protein bar done. I can tell you that. Go and check them out today. That is at built.com. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, our live episode here on this Tuesday afternoon, recapping day 12 of New Orleans Saints training camp. Thank you very much, as always, for being here with us. Thanks to all of you that are here checking out, that are here in the chat. Words are hard sometimes. And of course, for all of those of you who are watching and listening later as well, I appreciate y'all very much. And if this is your first time catching the show, I hope that you'll stick around as we make sure that we get you all of the information that you need on a daily basis, at least every Monday through Friday, and at least one episode a day over here, because we're going nuts here at Locked On Saints right now with the 2 episodes a day while the Saints are in training camp. Don't forget to drop that your team every day in the chat. I'm seeing all y'all up in here. I see Hoodie Jube. I see Jerry. I see Tito Man. I see all y'all out here. So I appreciate you very much for joining us. Listen, it doesn't matter who's throwing passes to Michael Thomas. He's going to make plays. He's going to ball out, and he's going to continue to reestablish himself as one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. You've heard me combat over and over again, and if you haven't, I'll tell you again real quick, the idea that Michael Thomas isn't going to be able to come back and be 2019 Michael Thomas, and nobody's asking him to do that. But I will tell you this much, you are still asking him to be a primary X receiver, your number one option down in and down out. And today is another one of those days where he showed you that he can absolutely be that guy. Five targets from New Orleans Saints quarterbacks that I saw, five catches in 7-on-7s and team drills. Michael Thomas did not participate in the 2-minute drills. I think it would have been unfair for him to do so anyway, but he was not out there for the 2-minute drills. That's also a part of a game install. You know what I mean? You're looking at Andy Dalton maybe doing that at the end of the first half, and maybe Ian Book getting that done at the end of the game. You know, so I think that you're really focusing on the players that those guys are actually going to be playing with. Michael Thomas, there's no way he's going to be out there against the Houston Texans. At least I don't expect that to be the case on Saturday. So you already know Jarvis Landry, who actually had a vet rest day. He's going to be very good for this team. Chris Olave is going to be really, really good for this team. But we have seen this over and over and over again with Michael Thomas. He has proven this over and over again that it doesn't matter who's throwing him the football. And it's one of the reasons why the sort of uneducated narrative that Michael Thomas is only productive because Drew Brees was force feeding him or whatever is kind of not only kind of overplayed, but also just blatantly incorrect. You look at today with this practice, him going 5 of 5. And if you look over the course of the past, since his return, he has caught the majority of passes that have gone his way. I think Nick Underhill has been breaking it down and everything, so he's got it over in his piece, but I wouldn't be surprised to see his catch percentage over 70 or 80%. And the reason why I highlight that number is because that's exactly what you saw with Michael Thomas when it came to non-Drew Brees passes over the course of the past few seasons. You think back to 2019, the 5 games that he played with Teddy Bridgewater, 80.8% completion percentage over the course of those 5 games. An 81.1% completion percentage in the 4 games that he played with Taysom Hill at quarterback in 2020. It's simple. It doesn't matter who's throwing the ball to Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is going to make plays. He is going to bring in the catches. He is going to be Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is not in any way defined by the quarterback that is throwing him the football. If there is a football out there to be caught, Michael Thomas is out on the field and that ball is coming his way, he will catch that pass. That is exactly what Michael Thomas wants to do. So this whole idea that his sort of production is attached to some inefficiency within the New Orleans Saints offense, which is not entirely untrue based upon what the other skill position options are, what the other pass catching options are, but to affix his success to another quarterback strictly, I mean, it's just ignorant. And now you're starting to see yet again him continue to produce with guys like Ian Book and Andy Dalton, who by no means are bad quarterbacks. There are obviously worse quarterbacks in the NFL than that, but it just goes to show you that it's not all because Drew Brees was the sort of meticulous, very precise passer that he was throughout his career. So that's my big thing. Like, you look at Michael Thomas and what he's doing so far during training camp, it is not at all out of the ordinary from what we are accustomed to seeing when it comes to Michael Thomas as a whole. And there's to wrap up this piece before we get into like attendance and participation, there's another wide receiver that I kind of want to highlight, which is Kirk Merritt. Again, we'll break him down a little bit further later on, but you look at Kirk Merritt, Dejon Dixon, both of these guys continue to make plays. Aesop Winston is showing you that he can be somebody that can make plays over on offense as well as be a special teams guy that can give you another returner behind Deonte Hardy. Rashid Shaheed's just now getting involved a little bit more, I believe. He was involved in 7-on-7s and route on, no, he was in routes on air today. He was not in 7-on-7s today. But you're seeing his participation escalate as well. There's so much talent in this wide receiver room all of a sudden, which is so incredibly different than what we saw last year. And it's not, and you know, we've talked about it before, we highlight it, but oftentimes when we highlight it, we focus on what? We focus on Michael Thomas, we focus on Jarvis Landry, we focus on Chris Olave, which is exactly where the focus should be. But even if you climb down the depth chart beyond guys like Deonte Hardy, Marquez Callaway, Kevin White, and Tre'Quan Smith, you can see that there's production with some of these other guys like Merritt, Dixon, Winston, and then soon Shaheed, I assume, and even Kwon Baker, who had a couple of nice plays in a few of his drills as well. Now, he's of course suspended for the first six games of the season, so he won't be able to contribute too entirely much, but it gives the Saints an opportunity to hold off a roster spot that way, thanks to his suspension too. So there's a lot of different ways that they'll be able to sort of build out the configuration of how they use, elevate, deploy these wide receivers. And guys like Merritt, Dixon, and Winston should not be forgotten. Aesop Winston should not be forgotten in that mix. I'll tell you one thing too. Aesop Winston had probably what was arguably maybe the best catch. I can think of a couple other ones, but the best catch of camp so far in one-on-ones where he was matched up with a defensive back. Let me check my notes and see if I have which defensive back. Yeah, it was 35. So it was Vincent Gray. So he takes an outside release on Vincent Gray, gets past him, just, you know, uses his speed to get past him. The pass comes up. This one was from, it was from Ian Book. So the pass sails over it down the right sideline, well placed. And Aesop Winston simply like just stuck his hand out, caught the pass in his hand, and then just sort of pedestrian like carried the football up at head height all the way into the end zone. It was as if he just couldn't be bothered. He made it look so simple and so pedestrian, just like plucking it out of the air and then marching in as if he were like holding up a loaf of bread and trying to show the local community. I don't know why that's the analogy that I went with, but it's the analogy that I went with. All right, coming up next, we're going to dive into practice participation as well as attendance, get you all updated with the players who were not present, as well as the players who took some meaningful steps forward in terms of their recovery and an unfortunate injury for Bryce Thompson. We've got all that coming up for you as we continue on and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. And before we get to that, I get a great opportunity to tell you about our friends over at Dave. Listen, it's always nice to be able to do future you a little bit of a favor. So what if that also meant borrowing a little bit of cash? Well, now you can do that thanks to our friends over at Dave. Dave is an online banking app that allows you to get up to $500 instantly with what they call extra cash. It's a little bit of extra money to fill up your tank for gifts, presents, things like that. Maybe it's like Christmas time or holiday time. You need a little bit of extra cash to help you get through, or if you just need to catch up on some bills so you can get rid of all of those expenses that have been stressing you out over the course of the last little bit without any of the hangups involved, without all the strings attached, right? There's no interest. There's no credit check needed. And millions of people are already doing this. They've already downloaded the Dave app so they can get the financial relief that they need with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch and you need a little bit of extra help, extra cash, and Dave can help you get all of it taken care of with a little help in hand from future you. So download the Dave app today in the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account so you can get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, make sure you go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply, and banking is provided by Evolve, member FDIC. Go ahead and check out the Dave app today. Future you will thank you. Get it, Houdat Nation. We are wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints, our live episode here this afternoon following day 12 of New Orleans Saints training camp. Big thanks to everybody that is here in the chat. Make sure that you hit that like button for me as well. Go ahead and shoot those likes up. Let me know that you're here. Really, really appreciate everybody being here with us. So let's jump into participation and attendance and all that good stuff as well, because I know that that's how much y'all really, I mean, I know it's something that everybody really, really loves. So I want to start off with the players that we didn't see in practice. So, of course, we didn't see Jameis Winston, which everyone knows, right? Didn't see Jameis Winston, but Andy Dalton did a very good job, as well as Ian Book leading throughout practice today. Yes, Taysom Hill was in a non-contact jersey again today, but no, he did not take quarterback snaps, although he does believe that he will throw some passes in 2022. So no Jameis Winston, no Marshon Lattimore, still working his way back. Remember, we did see him out on the practice field and the outdoor practice field for the like 15 minutes that the Saints were outside yesterday before they had to go inside due to lightning being detected in the area. But Marshon Lattimore not present today. Linebackers DeMarco Jackson and Zach Bond were not seen during practice. And then defensive tackle Jaleel Johnson, who has missed a few practices as well, is also out. So that means that right now it's just those five. The list of missing players is shrinking, and some of that's for good reason, some of it's for bad reason, right? You think about guys like Smoke Monday and defensive tackle Jared Hawkins and cornerback Dylan Maben, who have either been moved to injured reserve or, in Maben's case, waived with an injury designation. But you're also seeing guys like Rashid Shaheed get back to practice. Peyton Turner was one of those guys for a little bit too, getting back to practice. But also Marcus Davenport even getting back to practice as well, which is what we saw today. Big number 92 back out on the field. He participated in walkthrough. He participated in stretch, of course. And then he also participated in some individual drills. The goal, according to Dennis Allen, is that that will be his sort of rhythm and routine moving forward for the next couple of days before they eventually end up getting him involved in pass rushing drills, 9-on-7s as well. Marcus Davenport spoke with us after practice and said that his biggest sort of focus right now is health and wanting to be out on the field. This is a good step forward in that process in being out on the field at all in the first place, but now he has to work to make sure that he stays out on the field as well. He was peppered with a lot of questions about the pinky surgery or the pinky amputation, more accurately, the shoulder surgery, things like that. For him, he's really to that point that Sheldon Rankins kind of mentioned many years ago when he came back off of an Achilles injury at the beginning of the season, that you just kind of have to get out there, see what works and what doesn't work. And that's the only part left in the recovery process. You've done the rehab, you've done the regimen, you've done the conditioning, you've done all the things. Now you just have to get out there, play football and see what happens. And it sounds like that's kind of where Marcus Davenport is at this time. He wasn't the only player that took steps forward, however, in his recovery process. We also saw Taysom Hill take a step forward, participating in routes on air today and also getting in on 7-on-7. So we didn't see him in team drills, but we are starting to see him get involved, running some routes, things like that. So very, very good to see him becoming a part or getting a little bit more involved in practice. Again, he's still wearing the non-contact jersey. So he mentioned and he kind of clarified what his injury was. We knew it was a rib injury, but it sounds like what happened was he ended up displacing a rib at one point during all of this, but everything else sort of seems like it's in the right place and kind of going well for Taysom with his recovery. So very, very good to see that. The next piece in terms of attendance and participation, this one was a little rough. So as many of you know, this is really like my first time full-time covering an NFL training camp. And while I've seen injuries in the past before, this one was a little tough today because I was no more than maybe 10 to 15 feet away from when Bryce Thompson went down. So safety Bryce Thompson lines up against Kirk Merritt in one-on-ones. They have a pretty physical battle, all very clean, no issues, anything like that. But, you know, just two competitors competing and they both try to make a play on the ball at the end of the play in the end zone. Bryce Thompson comes down and he ends up just immediately grabbing at his leg. It looked like his left knee, but we're just going to call it lower leg for now. But he immediately went down grabbing at his lower leg and writhing in pain and all that. And it was tough to watch. He ended up having to be carted off the field. And Bryce Thompson has had a really, really, really strong camp so far. He was really making a play to maybe get himself as a part of one of those safeties that ends up making the roster. Even if he was a practice squad player, he definitely would not have remained on the practice squad. He would have been a guy that got elevated enough to make the active roster over time. So it was really sad to see, right? I mean, you want to see guys that are succeeding like that be able to stay healthy and stay out on the field. But sometimes these things are unavoidable. And so it's not always positive in training camp. Sometimes things like this happen. We also saw Alante Taylor leave, though, under his own power at one point early or before camp ended. So he was an early exit, pretty close to the end of camp. We'll see what happens with him. Marshon Lattimore had a similar exit at an earlier point in camp, and we haven't seen him back since outside of doing side work. So hopefully you see Alante Taylor get back out on the field as quickly as possible as well. But the Saints secondary thankfully has a lot of depth, but starting to get a little thin when you got Smoke Monday on injured reserve and you've got, you know, Dylan Maben being waived and Bryce Thompson, you know, having his unfortunate situation with the injury and Marshon Lattimore being, you know, off the field and now Alante Taylor leaving the field too. There's a lot of reasons there that maybe you feel a little bit concerned around it, but we'll see how it all plays out. No reason to hit the panic button right now, but certainly something to watch over the course of camp. Hopefully Alante Taylor was just kind of like cramping or something like that, and that we might see him back as soon as tomorrow, right? Like that would be great. So we'll see what happens with all that, but definitely something to keep an eye out on. I don't want to end on a down note, so I do want to mention this. Speaking of attendance, in attendance today during New Orleans Saints training camp was Steve Gleason and his family off to the side watching Saints practice and taking it all in. Really neat to see, a really great reminder too of like the culture of this team and that it goes beyond the players that are just on the field right now and that there are so many players from the past that are still so invested in this team. You see guys like Jari Evans, who's now, you know, a part of what the team is doing. Fred McAfee is on staff. Zach Strief is on staff. Steve Gleason is visiting, things like that. So pretty cool to see Steve Gleason and his family there taking everything in. Steve Gleason was awarded the Stuart Scott Inspire Award at the ESPYs last month. So, you know, he's having a pretty good month, I think I would say. So really, really cool stuff to see Steve Gleason present, taking in practice and visiting with media members and players and staffers and stuff like that. All right, y'all, don't forget to get all of your questions in the chat, because I'm going to be coming around with another episode around 8 or 9 Central Time tonight. And I want to make sure I answer some of your questions in the third period of that show. So I appreciate you so much in terms of, you know, making sure that Locked On Saints is your first listen of the day. Constantly coming back for these live streams. I'm seeing the same people come up. The Locked On Who Dat sort of culture is building. The community is building. So thank you so much for all of the support there, y'all. And for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. For your second listen, make sure you go and check out the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast or Locked On Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast as well, so you can get all of the fantasy football information that you need ahead of draft day, which is on the way. So go and check it all out here across the Locked On Podcast Network. And I appreciate y'all, as always, for making me a part of your day, a part of your routine, and saying yes to me and this show. It has been an incredible journey, and we are just now getting started. For everything else you need in between these episodes when it comes to your New Orleans Saints, make sure you are following me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holla at you.